Okay, I just want to make sure somebody might be uncharged. We need all Christians charged up in the house of the Lord this morning. All right, it's good to be in the Lord's house this morning. Thankful for this beautiful wet day that we've got. Just thankful for all of His many blessings for allowing us to be back in His house this morning. If you will, get your white hymn book, turn to page number 131. White hymn book number 131. I'm glad He loved me when I was unlovable, and every once in a while I get the same way, but He loves me still, and I thank Him for that. Today, as we come to the Lord in prayer, let's continue to remember all those we've been praying for. Remember the families of the bereaved and brokenhearted. Keep them in our prayers. Remember most of all the lost. God would save their soul before it's everlasting too late. Let's remember our troops today, and remember the ones that's been in the hospital. Continue to remember Brother Phil. Lord, just touch his body and continue to heal him. We're glad that the news came that there was no cancer, so continue to pray for him for a healing there. So we're glad for that. And continue to remember Thomas Sturgill. He did get good news. He's gaining weight and the spots are shrinking, so that's wonderful to hear. So keep him in your prayers there still. And others that have been diagnosed just recently with cancers and heart problems, let's remember them. Bush got a good report on his biopsy. He came back that he was clear of cancer. So we're thankful for all these. Any other prayer requests before we go to the Lord in prayer? So let's remember his family.
He didn't have nobody.
I think he had one uncle and maybe a left. So remember. So let's remember the Ham family. Also remember the Caudill family there, George Ham. So let's remember this family too today. Amen. So let's remember the Eller family and the unspoken. Anyone else? So let's remember Dusty Long. Let's remember these requests. Let's remember Teresa's unspoken. Carol's unspoken. Anyone else? By uplifted hand. Yes. Shirley will have surgery on the 14th, so let's remember her also. Anyone that can and will, please come to the altar for prayer. Alan, would you lead us this morning, please?
We're going to attempt a new song this morning called 10,000 Reasons. If you're here today and you have one reason to praise God for, could I see your hand this morning? You know, I know that reason is probably, that first reason is probably your salvation. But you know, I want to share a couple of reasons that I'm thankful this morning is the youth that we have in this church.
Amen.
I went to homecoming Friday night, and I didn't watch the whole game. It was raining. I'd had a cold, but I think I caught the most important part. We had a church member here who's singing in this choir who led a prayer in front of the whole crowd there. And not only did she just lead a prayer, she invited them to know her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I'm proud of Rihanna, and I'm proud of Caleb for stepping up over here in a role and sharing his talent that he has. And it's not easy. And you know, Caleb, I want to read to you my tithe this morning. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's how we're going to do this song together this morning. I pray that you'll have more reasons. In fact, I want to give you a few more reasons to be thankful for. It would be hard-pressed to sit down and come up with a list of 10,000 reasons. Just slide your hand up over your heart. Every beat is a reason to be thankful.
His holy name.
Stephen, would you ask a blessing on the offering, please? A reminder to the youth, if you have your information sheets filled out, would you please return those to either Wes or Cassandra so they can get your information there? Also, the youth are taking up candy donations for their fall festival. Collection box is in the hallway. If you'd like to donate any candy to the young people there, feel free to do so. And it's a big, deep box, so we're expecting a lot of candy. So please help us out with that. Also, we have a note here. It says it's time for boxes from Operation Christmas Child, and that's all it says. So we'll get more information. I'll let you know more next week. A big preparation if you'd like to participate in that. Also, a revival at Pine Fork Baptist Church. Preacher Jeff Dollar will be coming October 15th through the 18th, 7 p.m. each night, with special singing each night. Join us and be blessed, it says. So if you'd like to go support the revival, please feel free to do so. I believe that's all the announcements I have today. Everyone, stand to your feet and welcome each other to church. See me some more. I thought it just, I looked at him, I thought, I know that fella. Good to see you again.
It's been a lot longer, I think, since we saw him.
Yeah.
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 How are you? I told him I was coming to church and he asked me to preach a lesson. He said, I
thought I wanted to
know
what he said.
Sure.
Yeah, glad to have you.
Yeah, glad to have you.
Sure are.
A long vacation in New York.
A long vacation in New York. Well, it's good you're back down south. All right, let's start making our way back to our seats, please. All right, let's start making our way back to our seats, please. All right, we had to cancel the apple butter this week, but we do have it rescheduled for this coming Friday and Saturday night. We can't make it on Friday night, but we'll be here Saturday to help cook down the applesauce and make the apple butter. But anybody that can come out and take part, we'd be glad to have you. There's three bushels of apples downstairs in the refrigerator just waiting to be peeled, and I think some more have bought some apples along. So we're looking forward to a good time together there, a fellowship and fun. Peeling all those apples and cooking down the applesauce and then making the apple butter. It's a good time to get together. Hopefully this year it won't be quite as cool and windy as it was last year. And hopefully this rain's going to get blowed out of here and everybody will be able to help and have a good time together there. We are having some work done, by the way, down on the concrete there coming into the fellowship hall. So if next week we come, if you was to get here and there's some cones up or a barrier up, please don't walk on it as the man is sealing that concrete and fixing it for us where it's roughed up and it's flaked off. So he's going to be working on that. We're hoping he'll get it done this week. But if it was to be blocked off, just come in some other way. Be careful going through the church, tracking anything that you might bring in, of course. And we'll just work with it the best we can if it gets that way. So we'll get took care of. We'll adapt and overcome. We'll be just like the military. So anyway, just remember that. Also, next Sunday is Pastor Appreciation. There's a sign-up sheet on the back table for food for that. So if you would want to sign up for anything there, go right ahead.
We will have a money tree, and if you want to bring gifts, do that as well. There will be a money tree there if you want to put money on it.
And I've tried to plant that from time to time, and it will not take root and grow. A sharp knife, and if you got one of those automatic pillars and a good strong arm, I've got a drill. If we can figure out some way, we'll stick it on it and we'll put power to it. We'll be Tim the Tool Man Taylor and blow something up. But no, we'll try not to do that. But we're looking forward to a good time together there, so just remember that. Keep it in your prayers. We'll have a beautiful day. All right, I think that's all the announcements. So I'm going to ask Chastity and Cassandra. I believe they're going to be singing for us this morning, so y'all pray for them as they come. Thank you. She tried to knock me down. Did y'all see that?
Oh, I thought, I was like, I didn't even push play. Okay. Well, before we sing the song, it's called Say Amen, and I know everybody in here can say that. I promise I won't sing as loud as I talk. But, you know, we all have miracles. I have at least four right here in my family today, and we can definitely say amen for the power of God that's in this place. So, yes, we're going to sing right now.
Don't stand in front of the monitor.
We're all on a journey, and we're called to walk by faith. There'll always be the mountains and valleys in our way. Right here in this moment, may our strength be renewed as we recall what God has done and how we've seen Him move. If there's anybody here who's found Him faithful, anybody here who knows He's able, through the fire, say amen. Anybody here found joy in the midst of sorrow, peace in the storm, hope for tomorrow, and you've seen it time and time again, just darkness, it gets hard to see, but be bold and courageous and follow where He leads. Greater is the one who's in us than he who's in the world. So child of God, remember the battle is the Lord's. If there's anybody here who's found Him, anybody here who knows He's able, say amen. If there's anybody here who's seen His power, anybody here brought through the fire, say amen. Anybody here found joy in the midst of sorrow, peace in a storm, hope for tomorrow.
You've seen it time and time again.
Just say amen.
Church, stand and testify
of the greatness of God in our lives. If there's anybody here who's found Him faithful, anybody here who knows He's able,
say amen.
If there's anybody here who's seen His power, anybody here brought through the fire,
say amen.
Anybody here found joy in the midst of sorrow, peace in the storm, hope for tomorrow.
And you've seen it time and time again.
Just say amen. Just say amen. Just say amen.
Man, appreciate that song. If you have your Bibles, turn to Leviticus. There was a man who died. This is a joke, by the way. And he went to heaven, and he was standing in line to get in, and St. Peter was there at the gate, and he was listening, and St. Peter said to the first man that was up there in line, he said, "Now, you know in the Bible it talks about love, all about love and Jesus' love, and if you can spell love, you can get into heaven." He said, "L-O-V-E." He said, "That's very good." He said, "Come on in." So they done this till he got to this gentleman, and he went through the same process. He spelled love, L-O-V-E. He said, "Very good, come on in." He said, "By the way," he said, "I need a break. You stand here at the gate and do just exactly what you saw me be doing. And if anybody can spell love, you let them into heaven." He said, "No problem, I've got this." So about 30 or 40 people come through the line, and all of a sudden here comes the man's wife. And she's walking up, and she sees him, and she says, "What in the world are you doing here?" He said, "I'm in charge of the gate. St. Peter done put me in charge of the gate, and you've got to spell something to get into heaven." She says, "Okay." He says, "What do I got to spell?" He said, "Ecclesiastes." Think on that one. Leviticus. It could have been Leviticus. That's a hard one to spell too. Can't hardly say it looking at it. But anyway, Leviticus chapter 18. I'm saddened this morning for the decisions that's been made this past week by a judge who has changed the wants and desires of the people of the state as they voted against same-sex marriage. This is not a hate crime that I'm talking about. This is not that I hate the things that they stand for. God hates sin, but He loves the sinner. And God's called some things in His Word an abomination. And the things that are an abomination before God that's in the Old Testament still are today. Yes, He is a God of love, but He has not changed His Word. Murder is still murder. Thievery and stealing is still stealing. Lying is still lying. And God has not changed His mind on the issue. But people have took it upon themselves to interpret and to put into practice things that are against the people's wishes and against God's Word. And we see what happens with Israel. We see here in Leviticus as God gives Moses the word against these abominations, and there's going to be many more besides just same-sex marriage that's in here that we look. There's perversions and things going on today that's an abomination in God's eyes, and God's Word talks about it and tells us plainly what's going to happen. The inhabitants of the land that were in the place that God had given the Jewish people had committed these same trespasses. They were putting it into practice in their life. They were having child sacrifice under the fire of Moloch, which was an Ammonite god who they were worshiping, and they would sacrifice their children by burning them. We may not be burning our children, but we're sacrificing them every day. And God is not pleased with the things that's happening. And you say, "Preacher, it sounds like you dander's up." You bet you, when they blatantly stand against God's Word, when they change it and say, "Oh, that doesn't fit today," what has happened is we don't fit God's Word. We must change. We must come and to know that if we continue in the sins and abominations that this country is carrying on, that judgment is not far behind. We are seeing just a little bit of what is taking place. We want to blame it on the ones that's in Washington in power, but where it lies is with the people that are making decisions against God. One man can't change this whole United States for the worst.
And it's going to take more than one man to change it for the good. But all of us together praying, there's one God who can. One God who is able to deliver. One God who's able to restore America. But we have to follow Him and what His Word has told us. And I want to read to you from verse 29 and verse 30, then we're going to go back and touch on more of the chapter. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 29, "For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them, shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore shall ye keep mine ordinances, that ye commit not any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God." We're going to defile ourselves in that time. If you came near a dead body in the times that we've been handed down through the law and the custom of the law, if you came in contact with a dead body, you was unclean. You was unclean, and you had preparation that you had to make for the cleansing of your body. You better not go in the temple if you was unclean. You better not go to make sacrifice if you was unclean. You had to go through a purification process. We still have to today. His name is Jesus Christ. It's not changed. It's not going to. His blood was sufficient for all time. And thank God we have to have it applied to our life. And the blood sacrifice of animals is over because Jesus came. But still God's law tells us right from wrong and what we need to do and what we ought to do. But still yet we go against it. Brother Robertson got a tough job enforcing the law, but it's not Brother Roberts' job to interpret the law. He is to enforce those laws whether he agrees with them or not. He can't just take it on his judgment to change what the law of the state of North Carolina says. If he's doing his job, he has to enforce them. If we're doing the job as children of God, it is our duty to live by the Word and to stand for the Word of God. Amen. Sometimes it is a bitter pill to swallow. Sometimes it's hard going down. But when it settles in the stomach and we've digested the Word and we have grown and seen that God knows best in all things, it becomes sweet to our stomach and we grow in the experience with God. Chapter 18, verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying," speaking of the children of Israel, "and saying to them, I am the Lord your God." Let me tell you, this statement is very important. We see it a numerous times through chapter 18 as we are going to read. "I am the Lord your God." Who is your God? Who do you serve? Is it your family? Is it your stomach? We all like to eat. I like to eat. By the way, I got a praise report. I've lost 15 pounds altogether and 2 points on my A1C, which is the best news. Y'all keep praying for me. I keep losing on that part because that means I'll be healthier and get to stand up here before you longer. I am the Lord your God. Today in America, there's so many gods across the land and country, and we are told that we have to be tolerant of such acts. We have people like Ben Affleck getting up and saying that Christianity and making fun of Jesus and all these things, and that Muslims are not that bad, and there's just only 7% of them radicalized and all this. When you look at those numbers, that's 100 million Muslims that are radical Muslims. We can't get 100 million Baptists to agree on anything. And that's only 7% of the Muslim population that's radicalized. 100 million. 100 million. But I am the Lord your God. Do we put the preacher in the spot of God? If you do, Lord help you. Lord help you. No preacher on earth, not Billy Graham, not Billy Sunday, not any of the great evangelists that's ever been, can take the place of God. Brad Wooten sure can't take the place of God. I am the Lord your God. Who should we follow? The Word of God. Oh, preacher, we're in the New Testament time. Old Testament ain't got nothing to do with us today. I'm afraid it does. It's our schoolmaster so we can understand the New Testament. I love all sinners. They need to be in the house of God. It doesn't matter if they're into alcohol, drugs, pornography, whatever it is. If they're in the house of God, they're where they need to be. God will change them. It's not your and my responsibility to judge what God is going to do with them. But it is God's responsibility. He sees the heart. He sees what their potential is. Just as He sees the potential of those that turn away from His Word. Those that commit these abominations. These are not easy messages to have to preach, but when God says preach it, we just have to preach it because it's what the Word says. After the doings of the land of Egypt wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. What's more important, to obey God or to obey man? We must obey God. And man makes a lot of laws that we don't understand and we can't figure where they get their thinking from. But if we never stand up and voice God's side of the matter, people are not going to know what the Word says. Because there's many people that are so intelligent, they have left the Bible as a fable. But it's real. It's alive. It has power. There's no other name that causes so much controversy as the name of Jesus. People want gods, they want things to believe in, higher powers, the man upstairs, ever what they want to put on him. But you mention Jesus and people get offended. I get excited because He's my Savior. He died for me when I was unworthy, but He saw me for the potential. He tells me there's some things you don't do. If you're a Christian, you need to look, act, and be a Christian. Not pretend. Not put it on as a suit on Sunday morning and Wednesday night. That's not being a Christian. That's being fake. And a fake will be spotted. You shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Once again, He tells us, I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. It's important who we remember is in charge. We're not. We like to think we are. We're in control. We got our hand on the button of power. A lot of times we don't even know where the connection's at. But we have to be plugged into Jesus. Because He tells us, I am the Lord. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. This is part of the perversions that's taking place in America today. Children being molested. People committing adultery. Running around on their spouses and everything else. God said you're not to do these things. Not to uncover the nakedness. Verse 7, the nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. There's things that are to be left alone. Not tampered with. Not fooled with. And this day you say, well, how could it be the father's wife and not be your mother when it done said not to uncover your mother's nakedness? In this time, it was a time of polygamy. Men had more than one wife. And we see in the New Testament, I have not found one place where it talks of people having more than one wife in the New Testament. If it's there, I have missed it somewhere. It was Joseph and Mary, Ananias and Sapphira. Aquila and Priscilla. Peter's wife, mother-in-law, his mother-in-law was sick, his wife's mother. But in this time, they were married to more than one, early on in the age of the Bible. We see the nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. The nakedness of thy son's daughter, or the daughter, or thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness. There's things that's right in the eyes of God and things that are perverted. That's why He has given them a complete list, that there's no gray area. People won't have to wonder. And the perversions that's taking place, for some people there's going to be reserved in hell a special place for their wickedness. You believe there's different levels of hell? Yes, I do. And the most vilest of all is those angels that left their first love of heaven, who followed Satan and left Christ. They are going to be in the lake of fire in the depths of hell because they left their first love and they turned their backs on the Almighty God. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister. She is thy father's near kinswoman. All these things that it talks about. And we know that they are victims in these crimes. Many are made to feel it's their fault. But it is the fault of that one that commits such atrocities. Why is it one of them 50 cent words, wasn't it? The sin that is being committed in America and in homes. Hidden, they think, from the outside world, but God sees all. And God will bring us to justice. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's mother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thine aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. And all these is not to have sexual relationships with these people. It is wrong in the eyes of God. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter, neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness. For they are her near kinswoman. It is wickedness. God had no problem with calling wickedness what it was. Why do we have such a trouble calling sin, sin? Well, our shortcomings and our failures. That's what we label it as in prayer a lot of times. It all boils down to the definition of it if you look it up. Brad's Dictionary. Sin. If you know to do something that God has commanded us to do and we don't do it, it's sin. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her, to uncover her nakedness, besides the other in her lifetime. Thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she be put apart for her uncleanliness. God has specific rules for His people. Guess what? He still has rules for His people. He has rules for America. And if we want to be blessed, we're going to have to follow the rules. We're going to have to bow a knee. More importantly, we're going to have to humble our heart and trust God. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Some people play it as a game. Play it as a game, committing adultery. Some may call it putting another notch in their belt. Let me tell you, God's not happy with the things that's going on. Thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire of Moloch. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Moloch, like I said, was a god that these pagan people, that God was sending His people through. They had been in Egypt. They had seen the child sacrificed by them burning their children. In Canaan, They were worshiping the same God, and He knew what was going to be taking place, and He warned them before they got there, do not do these things. Child sacrifice, as they were doing it, was not going to get them anywhere except committing murder of their children. Verse 22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Amen. And how people can read this scripture and not see what God is saying, I have no idea. I have no idea. But it says plainly, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. And what has happened today in a land and country we live, there is so much confusion because of the pervertedness of the people in their minds being on evil continually, that they are people that commit these abominations, that they're so sick in their mind that they are having relationships with the animals as they would with mankind and womankind. If that shocks you, let me tell you, there's things out here in the world that will blow your mind. But it's happening. It's happening. And God has already warned us. He knew the perversion of man and where people's hearts would lie and what it would come down to. And He said, don't do these things. As it's been done before you in these other nations, don't do it. But we won't listen because we are a disobedient, stiff-necked people. Defile not yourselves in any of these things. He didn't say one or two of them. He said in any of these things. Defile not yourself. For in all these the nations are defiled which I cast out before you. All the people that God was sending the nation of Israel to, He was casting out before them because of their disobedience, because of their pervertedness, because of them sending their children to a fiery death and sacrificing them. He said, don't do these things because I'm casting them out before you because I want a people who will be obedient to me. And God still wants a church that will commit to Him. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourn among you. Well, it's their culture where they're from. Then go back where you're from. God said, don't do it. It's time to stand on the Word of God, call right, right, wrong, wrong, and not say, oh, we've got to tolerate it. I've not found in God's Word one time where He said, tolerate sin. He said, love the sinner. But He never said, tolerate their sin. Not even the stranger that sojourns among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. The land is defiled. We got droughts. We got monsoons. We got wildfires burning. We got people that crops are failing. Hailstorms that go through and destroy fields of food that's being grown to eat. We have Ebola now and coming from West Africa and cases showing up in America. We wonder why all these things are happening. It's a judgment that's coming because of the ungodliness that we continue to allow to go on in the name of toleration and getting along. That the land spew not you out also when you defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. God's sick of this. Even His earth gets sick of the sin that's going on it. Even though it's a cursed world, there's only so much it can stand. The land spewed them out. The nation of Israel took their possession that God had given them. That the land spew you not out also when ye defile it. We've defiled the dirt that God has given us. It was founded upon a belief and trust in God. But we have left Him so far behind. We have left Him. We have not made progress as a nation. We think we have. But all we have done is left our God and walked further and further away. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, once again, verse 29, even the souls that commit them shall be cut off from among their people. From among their people. Therefore shall ye keep mine ordinance, that ye commit not any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. I want to challenge us today, church, that we pray harder than we've ever prayed before for the lost and dying world. Why? Because the clock of God is ticking. We see the unmitigated gall of people to thumb their nose in the face of God. The name of tolerance and getting along and all the things that is being allowed to happen. Saying that groups that are bent on destruction of Christians are not really that bad. They don't see the real fear. As we preach the love of Jesus, Him crucified on the cross, they preach the shedding of your blood for believing in Christ. From the time that they are able to understand until they give their life for Allah, they are taught to kill. Not to love as we love. Not to show kindness. Not to show charity. Not to show peace. Not to live for peace, but for turmoil and fighting. I'm glad there's peace in Jesus. He's told us here, and if you read some more in Leviticus, it gives you more statutes and things that we ought to do and things we ought not do. It's all God's Word from beginning to end. It's all important. We don't do away with one part just because we don't like it. We have to take it all. We have to take it all. And friends, you have to take Jesus if you want to get to heaven. You have to ask Him to come in and save you. If you've committed these abominations, listen, you don't have to stay in them. God loves you. Jesus died for you. As a pastor, I love you. I want to see you get saved and go to heaven with me. I'm going. I pray you are. But if you can't say you are, today is the day to get saved. God's dealing with your heart. Feels like it's thumping inside your chest so hard that you can't breathe. That's God's conviction in your heart. Dealing with you for something. Whether you're saved or lost, God deals with us. You know the chastising hand of God when He's squeezing that heart and saying, I'm here, I want to make this a little softer. I'm here to forgive you. And I'll do it. You just got to turn to me and ask me. As I get a song of invitation ready this morning, God has told us, it's plain and simple, what should we be doing as Christians? Pray, pray, pray. If an opportunity is presented, know the Word of God, tell them what thus saith the Word, that's all you've got to do. Because, really, whether you believe it or not, it's already been settled in heaven. God said, and that's so. Like I said, sometimes it's hard to swallow. Sometimes it's a bitter pill. But when we have time to digest it, it's sweet to our stomachs. As we stand to our feet, all heads bowed, all eyes closed, no one looking through the congregation. This morning, I wonder if there might be one here that don't know Jesus as their Savior. That would just lift your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me, I'm lost. And I need to be saved." Would there be one anywhere? God dealing with your heart. Just lift your hand high if you're here. God can see your heart. God knows already. If you're here and you're lost, God can save you today. Friend, maybe you're here and you got a burden, you got a need. Maybe you've walked away from God and maybe He's brought you back. I don't know what the need might be. Maybe you got a friend or a loved one that's sick. Maybe you got somebody going through a hard struggle right now. Maybe you're going through a struggle right now. Will you come? Will you come and pray? If God's dealing with your heart, will you come and pray? Will you come pray maybe for this judge? He's making decisions against the Word of God. God would touch his heart. Reveal to him his Word. Will you come? Maybe you know someone that's got a financial burden. You'd like to come pray for them, that God would help them, deliver them from a financial need, whatever it might be. God knows, God's able, God already sees your need. He still wants to have a talk with you. Will you come? As they finish playing this verse of song, then we're going to pray. You may be seated. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father and Almighty God, we come before Your throne of grace and mercy, thanking You for Your blessings, thanking You for Your Word. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that You help us in times when this Word is hard and deliberate. God, that we preach it just as it says. And dear Heavenly Father, that You'll take the words, that You'll put them in the listener's ear, dear God, and apply them to our hearts and lives. Lord God, we pray for people that are in leadership positions. Dear God, that You help them with their jobs. You have placed them there for this time and purpose. We don't always understand Your will in these things for allowing these decisions to be made. But God, maybe it is to challenge us as Christians to stand up and let our voice be heard. And dear God, I pray as these laws are changed and things are made that are an abomination in Your sight, as Your Word has already called that, not in my words, but in Yours, that God, we will see how far we have walked away. Dear God, may we serve You with honor, dignity, and respect as being Your children. May we look to You as our loving Heavenly Father who will chastise us as well as love us because the love You have for us. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for the times that You take me to the woodshed to keep me in line with You. And God, I praise You for the times when I'm on the mountain and I can have Your vision and see where You have the direction to go. Dear Heavenly Father, and when we're obedient, the blessings that You pour out. God, I pray for these that have gathered this morning, whatever their needs might be, Lord, that You answer according to Your will. Dear God, that we wouldn't pray selfishly, but we would pray, dear Heavenly Father, in humbleness and knowing that You have a supreme will, and God, that You will answer when we call upon Your name. Dear God, may we accept when You have to tell us no, and know that was Your will also. Dear God, we thank You for loving us. We thank You for what Your Word has taught us. We thank You for Your love that You extended all through Your Bible and for it coming and walking among us when Jesus came to earth, the Word that took on flesh. God, I praise You today for what You have done in this church and what You are going to do, because we know that You're not finished yet. And God, we thank You. Put us back on the potter's wheels when we become a vessel marred. My dear Heavenly Father, we thank You. You never throw the clay away. Shape me and mold me each day into the vessel that You need me to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We will send out a call tree message, and if you're not on the call tree, be sure and give us a telephone number that we can reach you at. We will put you on there to make sure you get the announcements. And if you're not getting the announcement, if you've given me your number, you may have changed it and not told me. So I hope that everybody has been getting the announcements. If anybody's not, then give me a new number and we'll get that on there and amend that. So keep that in mind. We will send that out about Friday night, the times, and on Saturday what time we will start. And we'll send that out probably on Thursday for sure so everybody can come prepared. Any words on anyone's heart? If not, let's stand to our feet and be dismissed. Go ask Vernon if he'd dismiss us today.